to the Texas in the US now, where 3 days after a huge flood swept the centre of the state, the number of dead is still rising. 79 now known to have been killed. Over a dozen people are still missing, including young girls from a summer camp on the banks of the River Guadalupe, many of whom were asleep when the river rose 8 metres in the space of 45 minutes on Friday night. Connie Salas survived the flood, but her brother Julian died. She spoke to the BBC.
My husband put me on top of the bed and said, just stay there. And he was holding on to the side of it and letting me just sit on top of the bed so nothing happens to me or the animals. My brother lived about maybe 10 steps in front of me. And my brother yelled out for my husband. He was like, John. And I don't know if my husband heard. I was like, Julian, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, are y'all? And I said, yes. And I said, I was like, Julian, I'm scared. He goes, me too. And that's the last words I heard from him.
That's Connie Salas talking to the BBC. For the latest from Texas, we've been talking this morning to Arelis Hernandez, national reporter with the Washington Post.
Region-wide, we're up to 78, almost nearing 80 as the search continues across the region. In Kerr County specifically, the last number I saw was 68, and 28 of those being children.
Are there many still missing?
Yes, that number actually doubled today. From Camp Mystic specifically, which we've been hearing quite a bit about, there's still 10 girls and a counselor missing, and the number of total across the area, 41.
You were at Camp Mystic over the weekend, that Christian camp for very young girls, which was devastated by the floods. Can you tell us what you saw and heard?
I came into Camp Mystic to talk to Richard Eastland Jr., who's the son of the late director who died trying to rescue those girls and was taken to the lower area where a lot of the affected cabins were, including Bubble Inn and Twins, where some of the youngest campers were sleeping that night. And got a sense from folks of what this wall of water looked like and how quickly Mr. Eastland Jr. described it as rising by a foot every minute or so. And that within minutes, they were completely swallowed in water. And as I was having this conversation, Michael McGown walked over. He had been sort of going back and forth along the property because his daughter, Lenny, was missing, and he came out to look for her himself. And in the meantime, had gone through some of the things in the cabins and picked apart things like charm bracelets and pictures. Unfortunately, late last night, authorities called to have him identify Linny's body.
I gather while he was looking for Linny, he did come across a body himself.
He did, of another child. I don't have the identity of that child, but, you know, each day we're getting more information about who, as parents take to social media to make these sort of announcements and these horrible statements that they have to put out there in the public. But yes, he came across another body. In fact, every day, you know, sort of volunteer as well as professional search and rescue are finding bodies all along the river.
Did people have any warning, any sense that this was coming?
We're still trying to piece this all together, but the more we ask the question, the more we're getting a no response and a response that it appears to have, you know, been an inadequate warning. Folks who were in specific areas who had sort of mobile-enabled alerts from the National Weather Service did get some of these alerts in the middle of the night, but there was no message from like local officials telling people to get out, for example. By the time many people had realized what was happening, the water was on top of them. And, you know, again, this was in the middle of the night. And these are some of these areas are extremely rural where there really isn't much cell signal. So some people had a general idea. Other people were warned. I talked to a woman whose nephew was awakened by his dogs. And that was his warning system. And he was able to get out in the nick of time, but others just weren't that fortunate.
What's the weather been like overnight? Is there any danger of further flooding?
It's still continuing to sort of rain, not steadily, sort of intermittently, but enough so that we got a warning today and they evacuated Highway 39, which is the road that leads directly to where Camp Mystic and some of the more affected areas are.
Arvelis, there was a very bad flood here nearly 40 years ago where young people were killed too. Is that right?
That is correct. In 1987, a similar flood took place in which there were evacuations that were intended that were incredibly chaotic. I think in that time, 10 teenagers, 10 campers, young men, I believe, died trying to get to a bus, or I don't know the exact details, but yes, this has happened before. This is an area that tends to flood. This is Flash Flood Alley, as they call it.
That's Arelis Hernandez, national reporter with the Washington Post, speaking to us from Texas. We'll have more from there later in the program. 28 minutes past 7. 12 minutes past 8. In the middle of the night, with most people in central Texas asleep and with no warning, the River Guadalupe rose 8 metres over 45 minutes, washing away homes, cars and lots of lives. The young girls asleep in Camp Mystic, a religious camp on the banks of the river, stood no chance. At least 81 people are known to have been killed. 41 people are still missing, including 10 from the camp. Brian Tresher is the National Vice President of the United Cajun Navy, a non-profit organisation that helps communities impacted by natural disasters across the states. He was sent to Kerrville in Texas on Friday morning to deliver airboats and will be returning there again later today. He spoke to our reporter, Aaron McElroy, about what he saw.
Obviously, there was a lot of flood damage, a lot of debris, a lot of structures and vehicles that had been tossed in blocking roads and things like that. We sent an airboat, four airboats with swift water rescue and search and rescue personnel on board to go downstream from where the Coast Guard and the Texas National Guard were searching, because we wanted to make sure that nothing might have washed past the area they were in and would be able to intercept it if it had.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the work that you're doing in terms of the difficulty, what it is for members of your team dealing with a tragedy like this when there are people missing, when there is a large number of fatalities?
Anytime that you know that your target is going to be, you know, juveniles, it's very hard. We use what we call special ops volunteers. These are all pretty much 100% of them are combat veterans. So they've seen a lot, and if they're mentally very tough, so they know they're going to see some terrible things, but they're able to handle it and keep working. And so that is always a challenge. The terrain is, we learned a lot when we did our deployment to North Carolina following Hurricane Helene about, you know, mountainous, or in this case, hilly territories and washed out rivers and things like that.
That's Brian Tresher speaking to Aaron McElroy last night. Chris Carrillo is preacher at Riverside Church of Christ in Kerrville, Texas. He spoke to me earlier this morning.
When the flooding happened, I was asleep, as most people were. It started about 4:30 in the morning. You know, it's the 4th of July, so it's a holiday weekend for a lot of Americans. And we had quite a few people coming down to the Guadalupe River, which is what runs directly through the city of Kerrville. And so we had a lot of people who were here. We had a lot of summer camps going on. There's actually over 20 different camps for children along the Guadalupe, further west of Kerrville. And so there are a lot of people who were displaced by this and a lot of people affected by it. But, you know, I was at home asleep and found out when I woke up in the morning and started hearing things on Facebook and phone calls, text messages from the members at our congregation. And so it's been a whirlwind for sure.
Did you know any of the people lost in the floods or anybody with children at the camps that were hit?
I am about one degree of separation from a lot of people who have suffered. And so I personally didn't know anybody, but we have some members at our congregation who are neighbors with one of the families who lost a little girl. And we have another family here who is good family friends with that same family, and a different family at our congregation who is worked with and was at least friends with the high school soccer coach and his wife that were lost in the flood, and their two children still have not been found. And so the community is very close knit. And so even if someone isn't directly impacted or knows of someone directly impacted, they know someone who then knows someone who was.
Take us through your weekend then, what you've been doing over the last 2 days.
So I woke up and it didn't seem real at first, everything that was going on. It didn't seem, we didn't have a lot of information, so we weren't sure what was happening. By about 10 o'clock, I was contacting all of the members that I could at our congregation that I knew that were within the flood zone or were potentially within danger. And from there, it was a matter of talking with different disaster relief groups, reaching out to the police, first responders, seeing how we could be of assistance. Saturday morning, we received a pallet of goods. Somebody had ordered about 180 days worth of food in order for us to provide for the community. And we were up at the building promoting and setting up and just available for anybody that was in need. Sunday morning, I was preaching and teaching in Bible class. And then immediately after it was on to, we had a shipment come in, 26 crates. We had essentially $80,000 worth of supplies delivered to our building that we're able now to deliver and hand out to the community and to those who are in need.
I know that your part of the world, faith is very important to people, but how do people begin to come to terms with something so devastating that happened so quickly and so unexpectedly?
Faith certainly is a big part of the world. We're in what you might call the Bible Belt. And what we do is, and it may sound silly to some, and it may sound weird to others, but we rely upon God, and we trust that you know, those children that were lost, they are with Him, they are in heaven. We lean upon one another during these tragic times, and we cry with each other, we pray with each other, we sit with each other in silence sometimes. But we lean upon each other, and we lean upon our faith in God to know that even in the midst of darkness and even in the midst of tragedy, that we still have a God who loves us.
Chris, did you have any warning at all that this was coming?
Not really. There was some warning, but not a lot. So the weather services and people in charge did send out messages and sent out notes to those who were impacted. But the real issue is that this was a flash flood. And so it occurred, we're talking about 29 feet of water in an hour and a half. And so even with warning, there's only so much you can do. And we had, you know, it was at 4:30 in the morning. And so you've got, you know, July 3rd, people go to sleep and, you know, you don't expect to wake up. In fact, one of the cabins at Camp Mystic, one of the camps that's nearby, the entire cabin was swept away. We've seen houses swept away, RVs, cars. I mean, this wasn't a little stream. This was 29 feet of water. I read somewhere, and the number may be off, but it was 1.5 trillion gallons of water that entered into and came down through the Guadalupe. And so, I mean, we're talking about a substantial amount of water that even with adequate preparation, it's still going to do a lot of damage. Certainly there may be discussions in the future about how to better handle and increase our communication with others and during times of crisis. But this is a tragedy.
That's Chris Carrillo speaking to us from Kerrville in Texas earlier. It's 20 past 8.